I'm here with my co-host,
Heart of War. And I want you to welcome to the 69th episode of Locker Room Talk.
69. Woo, woo, woo.
We got our main man, Miguelinho.
What's poopin', y'all?
Dropping down from the Great Northwest.
PNW.
We have Sherry Arnold, who actually hails from the Great Northwest.
High five.
Red Sonja.
Matadora
Roja. No. Screw that Matadora Roja shit. It's Red Sonja.
Red Sonja.
Yeah, who gave her that? Was that Polar Bear?
That was Polar Bear.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's a great
right.
movie.
And then we got producer Chris hanging out behind the boards. Welcome.
Hello.
Thank you. Sounds been sounding really good.
Sounds good.
Amazing.
You
as
mean the
last
audio has been really good.
Yes, that's what I meant. Oh, the audio sounds amazing.
Sounds in my ears.
So, you guys like that, it's because of this bald dude over here.
So before we got started, we were talking about Instagram babes.
Insta thoughts, Insta hots, right. You know what I'm saying, dude? Insta squats for them booties.
So
I'll take over.
Go ahead, bro.
I got you, man. So, you know, check it out, man. We're trying to conversate, but I understand my main dog, Wallo, over here, Wallo J. So we're talking about, since I'm moving to the Northwest, they have a lot of little coffee drive-through shacks. Some of these, though, have women that I cannot tell if they're strippers or if they're just women that are, you know, dressed really attractively in lingerie and just shake their booties for their Instagram stories.
Oh, they've got two of those here in Jacksonville now.
It's a thing. Like, my friend owns two shops, actually, in Bremerton.
So. Yeah, there's one on 3rd Street in Jacks Beach. It's a little coffee shop that they do it. And then there's a food truck pop-up that does it off of beach.
But like, are they shaking their butts and stuff?
Well, I mean, they're in lingerie or bikinis, teabags, and stuff like that.
I'm looking at this right now, and I can tell you when I was in Washington State that they didn't have that then.
They did when I was more in Seattle, not Bremerton than I remember, more in Seattle. They did have those.
Seems pretty new to me.
All right.
I don't know.
Cool. Lingerie.
Hey, go ahead and slide that mic about two, unless you're going to look at me the whole entire podcast like that. Go ahead and slide that about 2 inches to you. There you go.
How's that?
That's awesome.
Yeah, way better.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Sorry, guys.
Sounds like a man now.
Shit. I just had an idea. I'm going to open one of these at Whidbey. There's a whole bunch of sailors there.
Oh, you'll make money, bro.
Fuck.
So what is it? Bikini? How's this work?
I'm just gonna hire the dependas that are hot.
The dependa tots.
She has like themed days too.
Yeah, that's what they do. They have Titty Tuesday.
Yeah.
And one. Fuck.
69 like Sundays.
Pretty much like Frisky Friday.
What about Wet Wednesdays?
Hey, yo, I think we have that one. Except
Wild Wednesday. Cool. Yeah, it had to be Wild
She's
Wednesday.
Been really successful. She opened up her first shop a couple years ago and then got her Saturdays. Second one. And
we're adding two things that are very addictive, highly addictive. One, coffee, the caffeine, and then butt. You know, it's pretty addictive
stuff.
Yeah,
dude.
Pretty booty. Girls.
Yeah. You're like, oh, I'm just there for the coffee. I promise.
Yeah, watch the coffee be shitty as hell. You'd be like, this is the best coffee in the world.
Yeah. You're like, man, you just see fucking ground coffee.
Yeah,
and
cowboy
water.
Like, coffee.
Delicious.
It's all placebo. Delicious. Delicious. It's just placebo, bro. I'm telling you right now. We got to do a
placebo?
Blind study.
What are you saying? Placebo or pussybo?
A little bit of both.
Hey, yo.
Oh.
Yeah, man, dude. Seeing that, though, man, I need to get in this business, man. Become a legal pimp.
So I got my crunch juice switched up on me today, guys. I went from cranberry to lemonade.
It's Daly's fault, okay?
Yeah, and now we're only going to give you one.
One.
Yeah.
I'm on a limit.
Once you get to two and then three, forget about it.
Oh, dude. And then you add vodka to the third? What?
Yeah, I don't know how that happened.
Yeah, you just handed him the can over. No, because you handed him the can and you asked him for some. He's like, hell yeah.
Look, you know you're dealing with pros whenever you see the fucking Pedialyte and the vodka break out together.
In the Yeti cup.
Yeah, that's professional.
Yeah.
That's somebody, they have done their research.
Yes.
They know what they're doing.
They know what they're doing.
We got to do this again tomorrow, so we got to stay hydrated.
Yeah, exactly.
Semper Fi.
Dude, my favorite was when you took that first sip of vodka last week and you just coughing into the corner. It's like you forgot.
Well,
he
was expecting the crunk juice, not straight
vodka with a hint of crunk juice.
A hint of crunk juice.
I think I breathed it is what happened.
No, I think sure you just almost died from drinking that, man. That was tough.
I think I breathed it in like the wrong hole.
You know.
Did you try to vape it?
I think I tried to vape it into my lungs, my brachial eye or whatever.
Has anybody ever done those oxygen bars before?
Yeah.
I've never done them. I was always wondering.
I did a long, long time ago, man, when they first started coming out. They're like, oxygen bars, what's that? And it's like, you go there and you can actually get flavored oxygen, which is kind of cool.
What?
So you go there and just kind of sit and you just suck on some, or I mean, it goes into your nose, nasal cannula, straight oxygen, man. So like, kind of like. You know, your body runs better. Yeah. Better oxygen. Dude, more oxygen.
In like 30 years, 40, 50 years, we're going to be in a retirement home doing this all the time, guys.
Well, it's like Spaceballs, but, you know, new. Yeah. You know, you get the can of air. It's Spaceballs.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I don't remember that part.
God, oh, really?
It's been so long.
That was the whole premise of the movie. That's why they were attacking that one planet, and they turned her into the Hoover.
Right.
She was sucking the air because they were running out of air. So the minister was drinking the – or. Breathing the canned air.
What's crazy to me, canned air. It's so crazy to me is that we'll never have movies like that ever again.
Man, that was 30 years ago.
Yeah. I know.
The way that society is right now, you'll never have. Matter of fact, you just don't believe. If you just have a different opinion, you're going to be called a Nazi. Can you imagine running a movie like that nowadays?
Well, impossible. There might be a ray of hope because, you know, the guy who played. Rick Moranis, he played Darth Helmet.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, he went out of the light, the public, out of movies because his wife died. So he pulled back and just concentrated on nothing but his kids.
Yep. Yeah.
So his kids are gone and they're in college and all like that. And there's been rumors going around that he's actually Mel Brooks has approached him to do
part two.
Yep. Spaceballs: The Search of Money.
How do you do it without John Candy?
That's going to be hard. Because, you know, Uncle Buck's been on TNT this week, and right. I've watched it like twice. And God damn it. I miss him. He was such a fun actor.
Dude, do you remember Armin Dangerous with him and Eugene Levy?
Yes.
That was such a great movie.
Yes. Was it like Trains, Planes, and Automobiles?
That was a really great movie.
Yeah. I was like, oh my God.
Dude, what about The Great Outdoors?
The Great Outdoors?
He had a lot of great movies.
Then he had the one where he played the Mountie. Which one was that? Where he was the Canadian Mountie?
Canadian bacon.
Yeah. That's so funny, man.
Fuck.
Yeah, those kind of movies are no longer like Blazing Saddles. You no longer have Blazing Saddles.
Oh, no, yeah.
You know what's funny about that is they actually wrote I know Gene Wilder was the other guy. I can't remember who the black fellow was.
That was Richard Pryor.
That was not Richard Pryor.
From Blazing Saddles?
Yeah.
What?
That was not Richard Pryor.
I thought it was.
No,
it wasn't.
But they wrote each other's lines.
Did they?
Really? Yeah. So that way the black guy was writing the white guy's lines and the white guy was writing the black guy's lines. So that way it kind of gave them the go of whatever you say, I wrote it for you. So it's cool. So that's why they kind of did it like that. One of those great.
So who was
great
it?
It was Cleavon Little.
Yeah, that's right. Cleavon. Yeah. That's so funny.
Richard Pryor. You're thinking of The Toy.
No, there was a movie that I thought he did with Richard Pryor. That they were in a train. They were escape convicts.
He did Hear No Evil, See No Evil. You guys remember that one?
Yes, he did. Yeah. I know the one you're talking about. I remember it. He did do a movie with Richard Pryor, but it was not Blazing
Saddles. And then in the 80s, late 80s, he did that See No Evil, Hear No Evil.
Yeah, who was the white guy that was Willy Wonka back in the day? What was his name?
That was Gene Wilder.
Gene Wilder, and what was his name?
That was the greatest Willy Wonka.
What?
And
what, Richard or Cleveland?
Richard Pryor, right? So it was Hear No Evil, See No Evil, right? So one of them was deaf and the other one was blind. And they had to work with each other to get something done in the movie. I can't remember what it was, but it was hilarious.
Like, that also was 30 years ago.
Yeah.
All those old movies, dude. I mean, if you think about it, all the movies. I mean, think about, I just had it. Toga Party.
Animal House.
Yeah. You had those.
That was 1980.
Porky's. You guys remember Porky's?
Weird Science.
I love Weird Science.
I still love it. She was
Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Yes. Yeah. I think the girl from Weird Science, she was like everybody's first like crush.
Oh,
big time.
Super sexy. Very nice.
Not anymore.
God, what was her name?
Not anymore.
She's not good looking now.
She did not age well. Fuck. She is not a fine wine.
No.
But
she's beautiful then, man.
Dude, she had boobs for days back in then. I mean, but that was back in the 80s where if you saw a D cup, Weird you were Science. Like, holy shit, those are huge.
Yeah.
Now Kelly LeBrock.
There you go.
Yeah.
Got it.
That.
Yeah. Because she also did The Woman in Red and she showed her boobies.
Yes.
I was 7 when I saw it.
He remembers.
And crush.
Paused it on the VHS.
It was probably on Cinemax. Because that was the semi porn channel back in the day.
Skinamax.
After dark. You're like young or whatever. Yeah. Your parents didn't have it, and you just like looked at the squiggly lines and trying to.
You always had to go.
I think that was a boob.
What was it? All the tracking. You had to go and adjust the tracking on the VHS because it'd start jacking up.
No, I'm just talking about like trying to watch it on the.
Oh, like on the cable box when you didn't have the channel.
Back when it was analog.
Yeah. We're old as fuck.
Sherry, what are you showing me? The Lord.
Hey, excuse us. If you're going to be showing stuff, it would be nice if you share it with the group. What is that?
Is that Bert?
I don't know.
Is that Bert?
I wish. Is that Bert? Caddyshack. Caddyshack was another good one.
Bill Paxton, Nude and Weird Science.
Okay.
Speaking of Caddyshack, I've yet to go to that restaurant in between here and St. Augie.
I haven't either.
I need to go to it.
Has anybody gone?
That's where I go to my house.
It's like I thought that was like a golf court.
It is a golf course.
It's like the golf.
It's the Murray brothers. They actually own the
Lex restaurant. Lex and Terry used to have an item on the menu. But take it off.
Or they really?
The Lex and Terry burger or something like that? Or sandwich?
Or like cheeseburger pizza, I think is what it was.
Oh, okay.
Some shit like that.
Cool, jeez. Man, I haven't listened to those guys in a long time.
Dude, back in Savannah.
I used to love listening to them. But
well, that's all there was back in Jacksonville for the longest time on the morning shows. Yeah, it was Lex and Terry.
Love Sponge and Lex and Terry.
Dude, or Savannah got rid of them.
Yeah. Do you guys listen to Elvis Duran in the morning show sometimes?
Who? Fuck no.
Who the fuck is that?
Dude,
Who the fuck is that guy?
Dude, I literally, when I get in my work truck in the morning, it immediately starts on a podcast.
Mine too.
It ends on a podcast.
Now that the podcasts are popular, are up and running. This is before they were up and running.
Yeah, there was
now
nothing
the podcasts
to do.
Are up and running. There's no way podcast. That I listen to regular radio. No way.
Me neither.
Yeah, man.
No way. One, it's all censored. The FCC, or whatever it is.
I mean, I don't listen to radio so much. Like even when I get in Amanda's car, I'm immediately connect my phone and just play Pandora.
Yep.
Yeah. I don't even listen to the radio.
I do Spotify, but I've heard Elvis's.
I used to listen to
Elvis is pretty good. They had like the little prank thing that they did. I thought was fun. But you know what? Like right now, like my go-to. So I mean, I drive almost an hour to work and back every day. So I have books that I listen to usually in the morning.
So that's
try to get my
cheating.
Brain right. Well, it's
do
really
you want him reading and driving.
It's really efficiency of time. So like that way I can read. You know, what I mean, I can pick up information and like I don't like. It's not like fantasy books. Like I'm reading, I'm listening to
fantasy novels,
business, education. You know what I mean? Like just a bunch of stuff like that. And then,
but now my question
and then
is:
podcasts.
Do you feel like you retain the information as well as listening to it as you do reading it?
Totally. And you know, what's cool is like I have audiobook on my phone, right? So I just kind of like hit Bluetooth and I put it in there.
What do you use? Audible.
Yeah, Audible. Yep. Yeah. And
that's what Amanda does.
And yeah, so it's pretty cool. And that way I can like always try to learn a little bit of something every day. I got an hour every day that I'm learning to work. And then like on the way back from work, that's usually when I kind of try to wind down. I listen to podcasts like Joe Rogan or something like that. Our podcasts when I'm like, all right, how's our audio? Okay, our audio is good. And then I just kind of skip on.
I'm glad y'all do that because I just download it. I never listen to it.
Well, I don't like listening to myself.
Yeah, I don't either.
But sometimes when I listen to it, I'm like, that's kind of funny.
Right. That's what I do. When I'm bored, I just like listen to see like last week's episode, man, stuff like that. Especially when I'm just feeling like,
yeah, I haven't checked. So funny. Let me, while
I'm
we're
not
doing
listening
this,
to last week's episode.
Let me do, since we're doing this, I don't
remember most of last week's episode, so.
I haven't checked with Father and see if he actually, what he thought of last week's podcast.
Call him up. Let's see
I'm
what he says
online.
Call him
up. It's Sunday.
Call him up.
They're chilling.
Tell him.
Mom's probably got to go to Boston this week, so I'm sure they're maxing and relaxing.
Yeah, man, he can answer a question. Just ask him. Like, how was last week's podcast? Was it good?
And he's not hooked up. He's not hooked up to the mixer, so I'll just text him.
No, he has to do is just call our hotline.
Yeah, have him call us real quick.
Call the hotline.
Like, hey, Dad, please give us a quick call.
We'll see if he texts me. If he texts me, that means he's not busy.
Hotline bling.
I'll tell him to call in.
I tell him.
Why are you messing with my damn Hellboy?
Dude, again? Yeah, you threw that at Chris last week, man.
Yeah.
After your second Four Loko.
You must have made me mad.
No.
You were just extremely drunk.
I'm just glad all the Legos.
I don't know why you say extremely.
Oh, I would say you
I'm
were.
Sorry, what?
Sorry, extremely is an understatement, sir.
You called me about if you left your meals that I walked you out the door with.
Don't say the other thing.
Yeah, I know. I wasn't going to, but you said.
Did I leave my diaper out there? I can't find it.
That's like the second weekend in a row where you went, man, did I leave my meals? No, Art, I walked you out the door with your meals.
Guys, listen, I got an explanation for this. You already hear this.
You're punch drunk, right? Are we going to go that route?
I'm not saying punch drunk. What I'm saying is that for about 3-4 years, I was part of a very, very smash mouth MMA team here in Jacksonville. So you're punch drunk. And sometimes I don't remember things like how I should. Just saying. It is what it is. You don't train, you know, 6-7 days a week with that intensity, with sparring like 3-4 of them hard and not have some sort of, you know.
Did you spar with Polar Bear?
Yeah.
You were stupid.
By the way, you kick Polar Bear in the shin. It's like, it almost broke my own shin.
He almost got Anderson Silva.
I went to kick him, like leg kick him, and he checked it. I was like, oh, I thought I broke my leg for real because he's a big dude. And it's really surprising, too. Like, you look at him, you're like, oh, he's overweight. What? He can kick your head.
No.
Like, he can kick your head.
He's legit. Not like a regular big guy.
Legit. He can, like, get his foot up that high?
Legit. He can kick you in the head.
Fuck.
No, so, which is funny. Mm-hmm. Huh?
Dude, here's the thing with Polar Bear. He's not built like a regular big guy.
No, he's built like a massive guy.
Dude, yeah. He's built like the thing.
Yeah.
I'd be scared to watch a fight. I don't want to see someone die.
You know, he's fun to spar with. He's really good. You know, he kind of hates it when Jamie, who is our former coach, here, take that shit.
Yeah, there you go. Fucked up the leg.
He would be like, all right, Polar Bear, put the suit on. And like, he has to wear the belly pad and the leg pads and hold the Muay Thai pads. And we just beat the shit out of him. But, you know, he's kicking back, you know, with these pads. And it still sucks so bad. He's a big dude. He's like 300 pounds.
Dude.
You know, maybe more. I don't know.
300 pounds of mass appeal.
Nah, he's more than 300.
Then why are you going to out my boy, man?
No, I'm saying maybe like 302,
Chris,
304.
Be careful, man.
Yeah, look, dude, you're going to piss him off. Dude, you think you don't have cardio, right? He's going to jack you
that
up.
Man is a weapon of mass destruction. And I want to find out. I don't want to be on the receiving end of that.
No, don't out my boy, man.
Nah, I said he's probably looking around 240. 243.
All right, now you're just trying to kiss his ass.
Yeah. Well, fuck yeah, you could kill me.
Yeah, it's your fault.
You should have thought about that before you opened your mouth. But no, he ain't no 300. He way more than
that. I didn't say way
you
more.
You done fucked up, son.
I said 302.
Too late. He listens. You're screwed. I can't help you, bro. It's too much. If I can get him down, we got to hope.
Dude, freaking.
You need, but that's like a big water buffalo with like five tigers or five like lions on them. Dude. Like, good luck. You got to drag that motherfucker down.
I just feel like he can punch you. Even if you block it, you're sliding back like 10 feet, like in the anime.
Yeah. It's pretty much like that. And, you know, he's deceptively fast. You know what I mean? So it's kind of like, whoa, where'd the punch come from? You know?
Is it like Cyborg?
Yeah, oh, that poor
I'm sorry,
girl.
Will you speak up? Because I couldn't hear you.
Yeah, there's
that is that like Cyborg there when you take a punch from her. She
that poor girl.
That poor girl last night was so scared of those fucking punches.
Real quick, can we have a moment of silence for
dude? She lived.
She didn't. Dude, Yana.
Yana Ketchup, dude. I don't remember her last name.
She didn't look like she even knew how to take a punch.
Dude, no. There was one moment.
And I know she does.
Yes,
out,
yes. Cyborg knocked her one time before the actual, you know, didn't happen or anything, but. Cyborg rocked her one time, and she's just like, fuck, this is real life. She just looked like an innocent victim in that cage.
Yeah.
Dude, I just wanted to call 911 and be like, look, y'all need to stop. This is about to be a murder going on in the T-Mobile arena. Dude, that shit was bad.
Oh, man. I was so sad when Frankie lost.
Fredger.
Why? Was a good one.
Because I love Frankie.
Ortega? Ortega.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I like Ortega, too. But
he went in there super chill, too.
But goddamn, Frankie, man. Frankie's my dude.
Dude,
Frankie. He's
not Bald Pat's dude.
Dude,
Bald
Frankie acted like a kite because he went into the air.
Remember in Mortal Kombat? Was it like a
Cage?
Down,
high punch.
Yeah, no. So, yeah, so down, diagonal, right, and you hit that uppercut. That's
no,
what Brian
that's
did.
Street Fighter.
Oh, Street Fighter does? Yeah. But Mortal Kombat has one, too.
Mortal Kombat had a down high punch, and it was an uppercut.
Go. Dude, that's what that was, man.
Dude, he cut him with that short elbow coming in, and that's what stunned him.
Yeah.
Dude.
It was a beautiful elbow, too.
I know.
Snuck right in there.
Dude, that.
I was just talking to Austin Lane this morning about that, actually.
Oh, yeah?
Mm. Yeah.
What do you have to say?
Like, he's like, man, dude, you know, Frankie Edgar, man, he's a really hard guy. So I was like, yeah, that uppercut, huh? So he hit him with a short elbow, I heard, and pulled the head down, threw him a nice uppercut, finished the fight. He's like, dude, it was good.
It was
really good.
I mean, because that elbow, it snuck right in up over the glove and down. It was perfect. And then instead of just swarming him, he actually, you could see where he's pushing, getting his space just right, and just unleash that uppercut.
Dude, no, don't forget, he pulled him down a little bit forward, too. And I was, oh my God. The moment you see Frankie get airtime, you're like, this
man's dead. It wasn't the Nugano fucking uppercut, soul stealing, but I mean, it was still bad.
There was airtime, though, man. Dude,
there was airtime.
This man took a flight last night.
I wonder if CB Dalloway knows where he's at today.
He's getting ready for his fight right now. Looking back at that video against Sean O'Malley, and it's like, why didn't I let him stand up?
That was so his coaches.
Oh, yeah, you know, he's getting it for that. But listen, man, how about Andre Arlovski?
Yeah. Win decision.
Yeah, that was a good fight.
Yeah, when this dude, he's been one of my favorite fighters forever. Like whenever he loses, I get real sad.
The one thing that disappointed me the most when he had Fedor, he was beating when he fought Fedor. He had him in the corner and he went for that fucking flying knee shit and it didn't land and he left himself open and Fedor just tagged him one time and that's all it took.
Well, it was in the middle of the air and he got tagged with that Fedor right hand and it was Dunsky's, of course.
But I mean, the whole before then, dude, Arlovski was just tuning him up.
Yeah. Arlovski's
good.
What
did you guys think about Alexis? What is it, Hernandez or Fernandez?
Alex Hernandez.
Hernandez. Dude. He went to like give the high five thing opponent. To the other guy Berriush, and he kicked him in the chest. I'm like, man, that's dirty.
But listen, though, man, that's one thing that we're taught in. By our coaches in MMA is like, listen, you can do the sportsman thing and touch gloves or whatever, but be prepared that they might try to stick you. So even though it seems dirty, and I agree, I mean, it's not something I would do, but people will do that. It's just like if they're losing a fight, they'll kick you in the groin real hard, try to change the ties.
Mm-hmm. Oh, John Dodson last night.
Damn, he got kicked in the dick twice.
So just like the preliminary card, first you fight, something crazy happened, like the Lombard fight.
Yeah.
Was that the first one?
Yeah. So the Lombard fight, he got punched
twice.
That's right.
Lombard punched DJ or CB Dalloway twice right after the bell. So Dalloway threw a kick. Lombard caught the kick. Bell rang, and then he went boom boom. Two pieced him up.
Mm-hmm. Put him on
first grade. That guy was done. Mm-hmm. But
Dunskis.
You know,
he won.
Yeah, he won.
Yeah, he won by all disqualification.
Yeah, he won. He won.
Nobody wants
to win that way, but
yeah, it sucks, man.
It is what it is.
I was really surprised. Because we've kind of seen shit like that before in the past, and I don't feel like we've seen disqualifications kind of handed out as easy as that.
Usually, because the things that happened in the past is because those people weren't knocked out. Like, there's no way that guy could have recovered.
It's one thing that you're throwing a punch as the bell rings.
Yeah, it's another to throw two punches.
Because I've never been in that situation. But if you're in the middle of defending a kick and you're already going for your combo and then the bell rings, like...
Well, then you got to pull.
No, but remember, too, though, you have the 10-second warning.
Sometimes you're just going and you don't always hear things.
I would have given him the first punch.
Yeah, the first one, but that second
but
one
was had to pull. Combo, you had to pull that second one.
I mean, but still, are you not already... I mean, Art, you would probably know better. Are you not already set in your head about what you're doing with your...
Nah, man. Like, you're professional. When the bell rings, you stop.
Yeah. You already have...
But when the bell rings, you also, like, keep yourself protected.
Mm-hmm.
Being that he didn't do that. I mean, his foot was caught. Bell rung. He was like, oh, that's the end of it.
And yeah, he relaxed. Like, you could actually see the shoulders drop.
Yeah.
He hadn't even recovered from his kick, and, you know, the guy attacked him.
Yeah, he was peg-legged and just boop, boop.
It is what it is at that point in time. But, yeah, no, you always got to protect yourself at all times. You know, it's good. Just know that the fight game is dirty. You know, in MMA, it's a little cleaner, I think, than boxing, but still dirty. Mm-hmm. Still dirty, man. I've dealt with a lot of dirty promoters. Dealt with some good promoters, but definitely, you know, they have an agenda. You know, they're looking to make money. They're looking to do it for the cheapest they can. You know, the mismatches happen all the time. That's one of the biggest politicking part of MMA that people don't understand. They're like, oh, I take all comers. I'm like, yeah, but no. No, you need a proper coach that's going to get you built up right so you can reach the UFC, so you can reach these certain things. Mm-hmm. And then every once in a while, you're going to have a freak that can take on all comers who can do that. But like in boxing, these guys, they have ridiculous records in boxing because they pad those records to get them up to make them big fights and make them money. That they do that on purpose. They have guys that are stepping stones on purpose. They're like, he'll never quite be like Floyd Mayweather, but, you know, he's a challenger or whatever, but, you know, we can beat him. Let's do that fight. And that guy's like, just trying to take fights, you know? There's always a sucker in each thing. There was even a situation where, like for myself, I took a fight, I won, right? And then 2 weeks later, you know, it's like, hey, I kind of need you to do me a favor. I was like, what's up? They're like, we got a fight in 2 weeks. It's in New England, blah, blah, blah. It's against this guy. You down? It's, you know, it's going to be a really big crowd, so on and so forth. I was like, oh, man, I ain't really ready. They're like, yeah, I kind of need you to do it. All right. You know what I mean? Like, I knew going in, it was like 2 weeks notice, chances are this guy's really good.
But are you doing them, by doing them a favor, are you doing yourself a disfavor?
For sure. But I was amateur, so it didn't in the real scheme of things.
I understand, but let's say that your aspirations were to go pro at some point.
I knew what my station in life was at that point in time and why I was fighting MMA. I was fighting MMA not to be like a UFC champion because I knew it was already past that time. But I was doing it for the experience of it so I can coach and teach and say that I did it and I won, you know. So I'm like, oh, I just came off a win. So if I went and I lost, it's not really a big deal. It's amateur. If I go pro anyways, all that record doesn't even mean shit. So I was like, I'll go ahead and do it. And it's good exposure and let's go ahead and do this, you know. And I was like, I have one round in me. I knew I had one round in me.
How many total fights have you had throughout your career?
For MMA?
Uh-huh.
Eight. How many that counted? Seven.
Yeah, we're not counting the one in what is it, Thailand?
Yeah, no, that was a stand-up fight. So I had two stand-up fights.
So
and I had a bunch of like little
do you fights. Believe that if you're a coach and you're going to have a stable of fighters, that you should go through that ringer? And how many fights do you think would be enough for you to say, yeah, I've been through it, I understand what you're going through, and just so you could be at least a decent coach?
Well, for me, I was like, you know, eight fights later, you know, so I've gone through the weight cut eight different times. I perfected that, right? I've gone through the mental prep for it eight different times. And I'm just talking MMA. Eight different times, you know, so that's solid. I fought an array of different opponents, really tall opponents. All my opponents have been taller than me. What the fuck, man? But they've all been like 6'4", 6'6", and shit, right? So I always fought tall guys for some reason. And the guys that were more my height than lower, I smash them like, you know, minute 30. Dan DeLeo, I think he was like one of the taller ones where I was able to finish him in like 2 minutes or something. And I don't even think it was 2 minutes. But I just think it's really important that you have that process, the understanding of the camp, the understanding of the weight cut, the mental preparation that you have to do, you know, for your fighters. You have to do it yourself. There's no way that you can understand if you don't.
Is it a disservice to those guys if your coach has never gone through that type of adversity?
This is the thing, right? So if your head coach like has never done MMA, it's really hard to tell, man. You have some people that are very special people that are able to analytically break it down like that, right? And not have to do it to be able to explain it and to make a person successful. Those are very, very rare. Those are like diamonds, right? Those are diamonds in like the rough that you just don't know. But for them to understand what you're going through and have realistic expectations of what your abilities are, so on and so forth, they need to have done it. They need to understand the feelings of it. Like, because it's more than just like, all right, man, you made weight. Good job. You know, if you each fighter is a little bit different. Some guys are really mentally tough. Some guys are not as mentally tough. And Zach Elkins, he tells you can't coach non-mentally toughs through a fight. You're right. You can't. But in camp, you can build them to where they become more mentally tough than they were previously. So like if they're normal disposition is to get rock, bomb, 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 and then they quit. Man, you have to figure out how to make it to where they get rocked, but like keep it in their brain to keep going anyways, to do what they want to do. Cause that's what their goal is, right? Their goal is to win. Their goal is to be this fighter, you know? And if not the UFC champion, but for life experiences alone, man, when you die, that's all you have is life experiences, you know? So your goal as a coach is to prepare them physically, mentally, keep them safe, and try to get them as many wins as possible. That's your goal as a coach. That's off the top of my head, guys. I don't have that written down. So I might miss a few small little points here and there that I might be like, yeah, that too, or whatever.
Well, if you're listening, you're a coach, and you want to chime in, feel free to give us a call at 904-990-3139. Hard line. Okay.
Rubbing in.
Well, I'll take that call. Hold on. Let's see what's going on. Are we up?
Yep.
Hey, good buddy.
Hello. How you doing, buddy?
How you doing, man?
I'm what?
How you doing, man?
Oh, you're using your, what is it, your Scarface accent?
Hey, you want some ice cream, man?
Hey, listen, man, I got two things in this world that I don't bust. One is my word, the other one is my balls.
Oh, no, I bust them out every once in a while. Nah. What's up, buddy? How you doing?
Good, man. Just heading over to my mom. Have a little Sunday evening dinner and whatnot. Calling to say what's up.
Hell yeah. Were you listening to what we were talking about?
No.
Okay, so
I just saw a call and I just said I'm going to call.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that's nice of you, baby.
Well, you called right at the perfect time because I was just talking about like the different aspects of coaching that you need to do, especially for MMA. And he had said, if you're a coach out there and you have any kind of insight on this, please give us a ring. And then you rang. So we're expecting you to say
something. Yeah, I thought that you had some insight on coaching.
Hey, I have no insight on coaching.
That's why I love Robbie. He is just straight up honest.
Motherfucker, keeping it real.
Yeah, he's just honest.
Yo, Robbie.
I never coached.
Hey, Robbie.
So, you want me to hang up and
No. Check this out. Hey, Robbie.
Yes.
You're a beautiful being. I just wanted you to know that.
Oh, I knew that, baby. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Daddy.
He said, baby.
Oh my God. You do want to get a room or something? I mean, it is.
I mean, I'm down.
It is episode 69.
Hey-o.
Oh, way.
I want to cross swords with Robbie.
That's just wrong.
What's up, Claudia?
That's a lot of man meat, you know?
You see that line? That line that was there? Yeah, you just went over that.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to do.
That motherfucker just erased it and went over it. Yeah. He's like, no, I'm just going to set it out a little bit further.
Yep. Hell yeah.
Well, okay. Cool, man. So what's going on, dude?
Nah, not really. Just having a good time. Got a little friend at the yard on Friday and just enjoying my weekend. I missed those fights last night, but it seems like those turned out pretty good.
I know, Pluto. I sent you an invite. But apparently the wife said, you're not going anywhere tonight.
Damn.
She did not say anything.
Robbie, where are you going?
Nowhere.
Nowhere.
See you on the flip side.
No. Quit talking shit.
Anyway. Yeah, quit talking shit. Y'all going to get me in trouble. I know that y'all quit talking shit. I've had to say that before. Man, y'all quit talking shit. Y'all, she going to hear you.
Just having a good old weekend and everything, and I definitely caught some of the highlights of the fights last night. That was pretty cool. I caught those this morning, and you know, we're about to get to my parents, enjoy a little food and everything like that. And
hell yeah,
you know,
very Hispanic.
So who there has coaching experience? Is it just you, Art? Or
yeah, just Art.
I mean, Art. I coach little league t-ball.
I feel pretty special. Just kidding.
I did.
I know. Outside of being a coach. Corporate America, I have no
official experience. Hey, well, Robbie, you know, you have some experience coaching. You taught me the nastiest ankle lock known to man yesterday.
I know.
Dude, he's been talking nonstop about that, Robbie.
It's great.
What was that?
I said he's been talking nonstop about that ankle lock you showed him yesterday.
Yeah, I think talk is cheap. You should show him, Miguel.
I really
You know what? I'm excited for you to show me this. Is it the forearm comes across and hits underneath and you triangle that forearm?
Yes.
It is that one?
Yes.
Yeah, like a rear naked choke.
Gorgeous.
Yeah, so instead of the same side, you go forearm side, right? Yeah. Well,
I think part of the excitement is Robbie actually let me inside his house for once. That was pretty fun, too.
Oh, it's a pretty big house. Shit. Wow.
Dude, he let me sit on the carpet.
Wow, that's a whole new level, bro.
You've been just staring out the window.
He even let me touch
his dog. How did I know that he was doing I call that the Russian ankle lock. Yeah. I don't know if that's the name of it, but that's what I call
calling it.
That's what you guys call it, too?
Yeah, pretty much.
That's what I call it.
Yeah, because I think it's the same one Dean Lister does.
But he's not a hairy Russian guy that Robbie
hooked
on. It's a pretty dope one though.
Robbie, who's your sensei again?
Robbie, I never taught you that before. I thought I taught you that one. A while ago.
No. I don't remember.
Dang.
I mean, hey, anything's possible, but no. I have sensei Tom DeBlast and then sensei Bruce Dante.
Oh, Tom DeBlast taught you that shit, huh?
All sensei means.
All right. I'll remember that. I'll see you soon, buddy.
it's all good.
It's all good, brother.
Somebody's triggered.
It's cool. It's cool, man.
You've upset him.
Somebody's feelings are hurt.
Doesn't hurt my feelings.
Yeah, okay.
Tom DeBlast is the man.
as he takes a sip of his Mike's Harder.
Right.
Well, all right, Robert. Thank you for calling in.
Go enjoy Sunday dinner, brother.
Yeah.
Sunday fun day.
Save me your roll.
Kisses. Kisses.
I'll see you at Disney.
All right, peace.
Bye, Robbie.
Well, he's the only other guy I know. We're Disney bros.
Have you guys ever been together?
Actually, we haven't been together, but we've been on the same days and didn't realize it until afterwards when we started checking each other's Instagram and seeing where we were. He was posting from this side of the park.
Take a selfie. Yeah. He's in it too. And you're like, what the hell?
Because I've actually done that a few times with friends of mine where I'll be, you know, when we stop and eat lunch or something, I'll check my Instagram and see some people post and I'll be like, oh, shit. Hey, we're over here.
Hey, guys, let's grab a turkey leg.
Yeah. No, I don't like the turkey legs.
I'm not a fan either.
I don't like they're not as easy to eat as a chicken leg. So
my favorite thing there is the overpriced cinnamon almonds.
They are overpriced, but man, I tell you, when you walk by the little kiosk and you smell them and you're like, wow, dude, I really want some of those.
Same with the Dole pineapple juice.
He likes the smell of nuts.
If they've got cinnamon on them and they've been roasted.
They're nice and warm.
You know what?
Yeah. Egyptian cinnamon.
I'm going to put some cinnamon on my nuts and see how you like them.
You got to roast it first.
Yeah, we got to heat them up with a flame.
He'll do it.
Yeah, I was going to say, how far you want to push this?
I'll pass on that one. But you can warm them up with your hands.
No, I'm good. Sure, sure. I will fucking go Miyagi on those fuckers for you. Go Indian burn.
Indian burn in the ball sack, man. That's how you know you're alive.
I showed that to Tiga the other day. I was like, have you ever had an Indian burn? Because I don't know what they do in the schools nowadays other than Tide Pod challenges and the burner challenge. So I was like, you ever heard of an Indian burn? She goes, no. I was like, cool, let me see your arm. And so she, you know, oddly enough, gave me her forearm. I was like, oh, you're dumb.
Dude, you taught her a life lesson.
I like straight just did. I didn't do it really bad, but I like gave her a good twist on the Indian burn. She was like, ow. I was like, yeah, it's an Indian burn. We used to do that shit to our friends in school.
So archaic, Father.
Well, between that and then y'all all met Nick Wagner, but Nick used to do what's called a monkey bite on you.
What was that?
So what he would do is he would come up. Nick's got fucking gorilla hands. Mm-hmm. But he would come up and he would grab basically your tricep with his hand. And then he would squeeze and get a hold of the muscle and the skin and then roll it. That's into his hand.
Dad used to fucking do to me, man.
Dude, it would bruise the shit out of you. Just like, I mean, he just could walk up to it and just whoop and roll your skin into his hand.
Dude, fuck no, man.
It hurts so bad. I saw him pick a kid up one day in the office by his arm like that. Because the kid was talking shit, and he was actually talking shit about Nick. He's like, oh, man, Nick don't do that shit to me. He ain't gonna fuck with me. And Nick literally came around the corner before the kid could do anything and just gripped his arm and just picked him up. Said, what were you saying? I was like, oh, shit.
Get out, bitch.
We need to get him and Tucker on the podcast together.
Who's Tucker?
Yeah, that'd be good.
That'd Tucker's be fun.
One of his good buddies.
Yeah, Tucker's one of our boys. He's a good guy.
He's really funny. Like, yeah, I haven't seen him forever, man.
How's he's he working. He's good, man. He's working got a ass off? He's working over at FedEx.
Checking out people's packages?
No, he drives. But this is like the first job that I've heard with Tucker where he is like legit, even on his days off, he goes up there. Be like, yo, y'all got anything y'all need me to do? And they're like, if you're here, you want to work, we'll let you drive. And he's like, yeah.
Nice.
I mean, he is nonstop working. He's at the FedEx that's right up the road. He's not too far from
it. He just likes it that much, huh?
Yeah, he just likes it that much. His back's doing better, so he's actually able to legit get some work in. So he's doing good.
Good. That makes me so happy.
He hit me up the other day on my birthday and all like that. So I was like, yo, what's up, my man?
Up on your birthday?
On my birthday.
Man, that was last month.
It was. Well, I don't have friends. March. I don't have friends that give me text messages every morning kind of shit.
So check this out, guys. Listen to this.
Oh, that's what we're going to have to do. Hey, Chris, good morning.
No, I don't beg for this.
Listen to this. I actually called Chris this morning.
You've called me 3 times this weekend.
Oh. Yeah, I call him all the time just because I want him to know how special he is.
You know, I keep setting your mic and you keep fucking it up.
We'll go with the yes for the podcast.
It's limp.
No, I set it up. Here's the problem.
What?
You keep grabbing it instead of setting it, and you just keep going like this. And of course, it's going
to
get loose.
Sometimes I need it close to me. Sometimes I need it the fuck away from me. Does that make sense?
That would be great if you could remember that.
If you do it through that, that's how you do it. Instead of grabbing the mic. Yeah, yeah, hey, exactly.
Hey, let's do this.
Yeah.
When you know that thing you just did when you want to move it? Like, move it away. See how my voice went away? So next time you really want to get angry about something?
Do it there.
Where are you going, boo-boo? Oh, sit down.
I gotta go. Yeah.
You guys enjoy this podcast. Adios.
Yes. Well, Sherry, I guess it's time you can make your announcement now.
Oh, what? Shit. Oh.
Sherry's going to say something. She was excited.
She's pregnant.
What?
Oh.
It's going to be like immaculate conception.
I think she's going to say it's her birthday month.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Oh, is it? Is this March your birthday month?
Yes.
Nice. How old are we going to be?
I don't know.
Okay.
69.
Wow. You look good for being that old.
Just like the episode.
You look good for being
dang,
that
old. Dang, Burke, like
fine wine. Like some like fine wine. This is a good 69 from the Napa Valley.
Well, what's funny is that her birthday and Burke's birthday is the same day.
That's right.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Yes. Y'all retarded.
No, right? Happy birthday. No, happy birthday right. To you.
Oh, God. That's going to be so sassy.
The best part is I get to eat all of the cake.
That's going to be so sappy around that day. Oh, yeah, because Bert's not going to eat cake because cake's not manly.
No.
You can't choke cake.
Is he going to have steak? Steak and cake? So you get steak, you get cake.
I don't know. I don't have any plans yet.
Well, you got to start working on it, yo. It's birthday month.
What are you going to take him?
Man, but I'm old. Like, I don't.
Whatever.
So?
I'm the oldest one sitting up here.
No, you're not.
Yeah, well.
Dude, you got me beat?
By 2 years, motherfucker.
No shit.
Yeah.
I thought
you late, bro.
I thought you were like 1 year younger than me.
No, I'm 42, bitch.
You look good for 42, bro.
Yeah, I look like shit.
Okay, well, I didn't want to say you look like shit. I was trying to be nice.
Oh, I said it. Listen, keep it real, man.
All right. Yeah, you look like hammered horse shit over there.
Well, I'm glad we're all keeping it plain for while I was gone. Retract the claws there, Panthers, and get back to business.
What are we talking about? We're talking about coaching.
Dude, we're talking about a lot of shit, yeah.
My name is Aldo Rain. I am 1/4 Cherokee.
What movie is that from?
Inglourious Bastards.
Ah.
It's a good movie. It's like it's probably even less than that. I am 1/100th Cherokee. And each man in my platoon owes me 100 Nazi scalps.
Yeah. Man, I've only seen that
and movie. I want my scalps.
You've only seen it once?
Yeah.
I've seen it a few times. It's actually a really good movie. The Tarantino movies can be hit or miss.
The way he does his scenes, though, it's like very kind of like chill, mundane. And the way he builds up the intensity and at the end of each one of those scenes was like, boom, oh, my God. And the next scene, boom, chill, 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 intensity builds up. Boom, you're like, oh, my God.
That's what he did with that Western one. He just, that newest one.
Hateful Eight.
Yeah, The Hateful Eight. It had like mini build-ups and then booms and then build-ups and booms.
That was a good movie.
It actually was. I was surprised. I caught it on Netflix, just was like, oh, let's check this out. And I enjoyed it. It was good. I finally finished Alter Carbon, so I was telling Art I super enjoyed that one. That was a really good series.
Speaking of movies, and I know these movies came out in the 70s, maybe early 80s.
Okay.
The Death Wish series.
Oh, yeah.
And now Bruce Willis is remaking Death Wish. I want to go see that.
I do, but I'm still confused. I guess I'm going to have to go see it because I want to see how either, you know, how does he go from a doctor to like straight up street mercenary? I know that, but
he buys a gun.
Yeah, that's just it. I mean, he goes from
They're pushing the gun control agenda.
Well,
with
he's being like a surgeon in one scene and then his wife gets killed. Then all of a sudden he's got like this amazing skill with an AR.
Oh, hold on. Hold on, Tom.
Oh, shit.
Hold on.
Hello. What's up, Zach?
What is up, fellas?
Oh,
hey, buddy. Yeah.
We're talking about coaching.
Coaching, yeah. I heard that.
Yeah, we're talking about.
I've known a few coaches.
Yeah.
why don't you weigh in on this subject, sir?
Sure. Which part?
Well, we're talking about. Well, they're asking me.
Let's talk about your awesome weight cuts.
Yeah. Let me tell you. First off, all right, so. I've had 8 fights, right, and I've done weight cuts the old school way, where you're like spitting in a can, you're just dehydrating yourself all the last minute, just feeling like complete garbage, and then the rehydration process was just as much of a mess than the dehydration process, where you're just eating a bunch of carbs, haven't even got all the rehydration portion of it in back in yet. And then as I went through, so my first four fights, 1, 2, 3, 4, it wasn't to the fourth one that I started getting a little bit more actual scientifically sound when it came to my weight cuts and rehydration process. And then by the last fight, I was able to do it to where I didn't even really have to cut the sauna, but maybe a pound or two the day of. And then I was able to rehydrate another 15, 16 pounds by the time the fight was 24 hours later. And the difference is from the having an MMA coach that has never really fought before in MMA, has only been super heavyweight, has never had to do a proper weight cut, to someone who, like Zach Elkins, who has cut over 500 pounds in his amateur career alone to reach weights and then rehydrate back to his normal weight. The difference is just crazy amazing. But
you learn a lot about yourself for sure.
It takes experience and some background in nutrition and how to properly trick your body into doing the things that it wants to do and bring it back to the normal level as healthy as possible.
Yeah, absolutely.
So weigh in on coaching. You got to do a little bit at the end over First Coast Full Contact Team, right? MMA. Tell me the things that you thought.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it before. One of those things that you can only teach as much as you possibly can. MMA is a very tough sport. You do have to be mentally sound to do it. And like you said, you can improve on that mental stability by being in practice and being rocked and being in those bad situations. And that's why you train for the worst. But, when you get in there, that door locks and, you look across, I mean, it's just the two of you. So all that training goes out the window. You really got to dig deep inside of yourself. And if you haven't been experienced in being in those and working your way through, and just know that you have the mental fortitude to do that. And it goes hand in hand with the weight cuts as well. I've seen a lot of people crying over weight cuts, and it's very tough, but it's one of the things that you gotta dig in. You gotta find, that inner strength that just drives through and, make weight. I never missed weight my entire career and had horrible weight cuts and had really good ones. But over the years and experience, you learn your body and how it responds to weight cuts and, how you can manipulate your nutrition where you're not just starving your organs and destroying them by, completely dehydrating them and like you said, rehydrating them within a short period of time, shocking your body so it doesn't know what's going on. And then obviously that's going to affect you the next day, in the fight, as opposed to doing it the right way. Having a plan, making sure you're staying within your thresholds for your calories and getting enough quality nutrition that's going to add to your performance level in training. And cutting the least amount of possible. So that way the next day, you're refreshed and you're refueled and ready to go.
Well, what are your thoughts on, guys that are coaching MMA fighters and they've never had a fight in their life?
It's rare. I've come across a few guys, over my lifetime who just had that gift, that gift that they can just see things. You don't come across it very often, but I think really in anything, real life experience trumps everything. So until you've been in there and done that, it's hard for you to have that understanding of what it takes to be in there. Although you may have a certain eye for it and you can see things happening and you can see, coaching weaknesses and strengths and ways to improve individuals. But, for me, I was always lucky, a majority of all of my coaches were very, very experienced and it showed. For me personally, I would have a hard time with it, but someone like Greg Jackson doesn't have a very large, MMA experience, but he's just a gifted brain and he's one of the best in the world, who probably never did it, but so there's not many people out there.
I just kind of think that's funny because it's pretty, your feelings is pretty much the same as mine. I was like, unless you're like a special individual like Greg Jackson or, somebody like that, it's, you need to have the experience to do it. And these people that go in there and I just hear the commands that they're calling out to their own people. And I'm like, so silly. That's not helping them.
Breathe.
Yeah. It's important. It's important to remind them to breathe and stuff like that for sure, man. But there's just so much more to it and just the whole mental preparation alone. It's you're really doing your person a disservice if you haven't done it or if you've lied and said that you've done it and you haven't, which I've seen that many times too.
Yeah.
It's one of those things.
See, I just worry with Danaher You know, he didn't compete. He didn't do a whole lot of that. He's not been, but he's a mastermind of the game, though.
Yeah.
But I worry, I wonder what's, you know, in 10 years, are we going to see a lot of these jiu-jitsu guys who didn't do anything but think they're like the next Danaher?
Danaher's,
I mean, he's just special. He's like top tier.
Yeah. He's one of those guys that is special like that.
Exactly. And there are some, but they're very few and far between, and they are rare. There are very rare cases that people, like I said, you know, just they have that gift, but not many people have that gift, and not many people, you know, even with MMA. I mean, just because you did MMA doesn't mean you know MMA. You know, I know plenty of people that I've trained and you know, fought with, and that you know, MMA fighters, but you really weren't, you know, you didn't understand the game, and it takes time. It takes years and practice, and you know, going in there and being in those real world situations. To really gather that knowledge. I mean, true knowledge.
So
not stuff that you can go on YouTube and you know, then suddenly you're knowledgeable in the game.
And that's just the fighting aspect and the weight cutting aspect of it. So for me, I kind of explained what my main ideas of what a coach is responsible for. How do you feel? What are the things that you feel a coach is responsible for? Obviously, the training and the mental toughness and the weight cut portion, but like, what else?
Yeah, I mean, for me, the really good coaches were the ones that went above and beyond, where they treated you more like kind of a sibling than, you know, than a student. And when you really build that inner bond, you know, with a coach, and you have someone that, because, you know, I mean, it's a very unforgiving sport. So if, you know, if it's just getting someone prepared to fight, but you know, when you have someone who really believes in you and you know, looking after your ultimate well-being and checking in on you and making sure life outside the game is doing well, because if life outside the game is not right, when you come in to train, your head's not right and you're not going to perform right and your head's going to be somewhere else. And you know, a lot of coaches aren't really concerned about that. It's like, hey, you know, forget about what happened today at work or whatever with life or your family. When you come in here, it's time to train. Well, that's all well and good, but when you leave there, you still got to go back to your real life. And, you know, a lot of that stuff you carry in with your, you know, and the reason a lot of people get into MMA is because of the baggage and the weight that they've carried over the life of their, you know, in the years and the adversity they faced. So that stuff doesn't really go away. You know, I think a true coach that, you know, is invested in you will tap into that. And I think the respect level when you have somebody like that in your corner,
you know, what's funny
is,
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, one of the things that I kind of touched on was like, is the hidden politics of MMA and actually fight sports period that a lot of people don't understand is that, they think they're like, oh, you're going to be the top UFC guy, right? So you take on all comers.
Yeah.
Period. From the rip. And I was like, nah, and that's not actually how the real life works. How it works is that your coach makes sure that you get the right fights, challenging fights, but the right fights to build your career properly so you can reach those top echelons and be prepared for that. There's too many times where you'll get guys that like they say they're good coaches and then they'll do the background on your opponent and they're like, yep, that's a good fight. Let's take that one. And you get smashed. And then before you know it, three, four, five, then you're 0-7. That should never happen.
Mentally broken.
That should never happen.
You know, and yeah, I mean, you should build yourself up, and you know, before taking on a, you know, what's considered to be a top tier guy, you know, you need to string a couple wins together to get that confidence, because confidence goes a long way in this game. So, I mean, if you just go in there and you fight a tough fight and you lose, and then you fight another guy that's, you know, and you lose it, you know, that weighs on you. So every time you go in that cage, you think you're going to lose, as opposed to going in there with the confidence that you've already put a couple fight together, things are starting to click now, I'm ready to take it up to the next level. And that's when a good coach, and you know, there's a lot of politics, there's a lot of shady stuff when it comes to, you know, to matchups, as you know, with different promoters and who's vested with that promoter, they're going to get the better matchup and make sure that you get the cakewalk and so that you sell more tickets. They're going to give you a more favorable tomato can and build you up the right way. But if you're not cool with that promoter and your coach isn't good with that guy, then guess what? You're going to get a real tough guy. You know, they're going to bring somebody from out of town to whip your ass and tell you that he's not really that good. So you got to be careful of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's one thing.
You've seen it happen, you know?
Oh, I've totally seen it happen. I've totally seen it happen. And you know, even been to the point where they're like, hey, listen, man, you're probably not going to win this fight, dog, but, you know, I need you to take it, man, because, you know.
Well, and the problem is because the young guys are hungry. They just want to compete because they have whatever visions that they have of them seeing themselves as far as in this future. But that future can't happen unless they get in that cage and start performing. Yeah. But you need to make sure you're set up with the right fight for where you're at right now. And you know, and then of course the promoters aren't any better because then if you take the fight, they're like, oh, you're scared, you're just a pussy, you didn't want to fight anyways. No, I do, but I want to make sure that this is, you know, because at the end of the day, these amateur fighters aren't getting paid.
No,
you know, they're not getting paid. So you're putting, you know, your health and wellness out there for, you know, for entertainment purposes for them to benefit from and monetize from that. So you have to be cognizant of that. And, you know, if you really want to do MMA long term, you have to be slow. You have to be selective. You know, you can't just take all tomato cans, but everybody's going to get a couple bums down the road in their resume to build up their resume, to build up that experience and to build up that confidence. So then you can take on some of those better guys. So then once you have the experience, and then once you beat one of those big names, then it's like, you know, then you start going down that path of, you know, where do we go next? Yeah. Now we get to choose. We get to pick and choose who we're going to want, as opposed to the promoter saying you're going to fight this guy.
Yep, that's the truth.
I mean, I've seen it.
And that's the down and dirty of 20 politics.
Amateur fights, you know. Yeah, yeah, I mean I've seen it all, you know. But it's awesome though, you know. It's a great sport. I think it's the greatest sport in the world. You know, it's just when that door locks and there's nowhere to go and you can't, you know.
Talk yourself out of it.
You can't bring a friend in. You can't double team. You can't say, hey, time out. You know, it's like you can't run away. You take, if you're not ready, you're not ready. You're going to get exposed.
You're going to find out.
You know, it's whatever you're bringing to the table versus whatever I'm bringing to the table. And everything's a go. You know, that's what's so great about MMA. It's just not one individual sport or one individual art form. You get to bring a plethora of tools to the table, and whatever my toolbox has versus whatever your toolbox has, we're going to find out who's got more tools. And you know, and at the end of the day, you can't be the best of everything. You may be the best boxer, but you may go up against a guy who's a better wrestler, and a better wrestler may go up against a guy who's a better jiu-jitsu practitioner. You know, that's why it's so hard to stay undefeated in this sport, because there's so many ways to lose.
Yeah. We were just kind of talking about how boxing is. You'd never see the MMA record to be like a boxing record where it's like 50-0 never. Or 30-0.
There'll never be anybody, you know, 50-0 or, you know, it's very common coming up to amateur for you to be 20, 30, 40-0, you know, because you still obviously have to have a lot of talent and put in the work and all of that. But, you know, there's a certain point that it's just, you know, knowing the different angles and the cuts and the head movements and the punches, you know, you're only bringing so much to the table. But you know, when you, in MMA, when you step that front leg out and, you know, like a Floyd Mayweather who's used to leaning back on that back shoulder and blocking all those punches, well, I would rip the shit out of your front leg until you couldn't walk anymore. Then you have no power to come back with that punch. Then what are you going to do?
Yeah.
You know, you take a boxer's legs away, which they're not used to doing, or you take a boxer down, what are they going to do then? That's why you have to be, you know, multifaceted, you know, jack of all trades, you know, ace of none, but today these kids grow up and they just get MMA all at once, where, you know, old school, you know, even the old origination when UFC was first came about, it was who was the greatest martial arts form. That's why the UFC was created, to see who was, you know, superior. And at that time, jiu-jitsu showed that it was, because no one had seen it. But then once people started seeing it, and they're like, oh, shit, this guy, this Gracie guy, what if I were to add that jiu-jitsu stuff to what I do? And then they started cross-training, and now, like, these kids, it's like, you don't get to do all that. It's like, hey, you just train MMA, you get all of it now, which is why we're seeing, you know, the talent level and the creativity of the sport just continue to change every single year.
And the way the timelines are now, let's say you are primarily a ground specialist, right? And you're dealing with primarily a striker, but within a 5-minute period, you got somebody who has decent defense for the ground or whatever. It's really hard to finish somebody. You know what I mean? Plus they're throwing strikes or more strikes than you. It changes the game for sure. You have to be well-rounded. Yep. You have to be able to take them down. You have to be able to, you know, strike with them and do those things that you're saying. It's too much. Yeah, you cannot just be a pure specialist. I mean, you have your very few guys like Damian Mayas and stuff like that, but you know, those are far and few between. They're, you know, you need to be well rounded. Even him, he's actually a pretty good striker.
Right, that's what I was just going to say. He had to develop that striking.
Yeah.
So.
You know what I think is kind of cool is it's funny because like his takedowns isn't a traditional takedown. He'll shove you against the cage and he'll do some trips to take you down or take your back. But when I saw who was he fighting? Was it Tyron Woodley? Was it he that he was fighting? Anyways, it was somebody who's a really powerful striker. Couldn't take him down. What did he end up doing? He ended up like jumping half guard, jumping into half guard or a quarter guard and then coming back up, taking a single leg and taking him down that way. Very interesting.
I think he was Jorge Masvidal.
Or Masvidal, yeah. That you're thinking, right. Yeah. Jorge Masvidal, that's right.
Quite possibly that one.
But yeah, he had a hard time really taking him down, and then he ended up having to do some crazy stuff to get where he needed to be. But yeah, man, I think you just kind of like just collaborated with what I was saying as far as, you know, coaching MMA-wise, you know, the importance of it and what the main aspects of the job is. It's not easy. It's not an easy job. Yeah. It's very mentally draining. It's a lot of times thankless. Somebody who just posted that in jiu-jitsu about a thankless.
And on top of that, you also have to manage personalities. And, you know, everyone's different. So it's that you can't just have a blueprint of, hey, this is how I coach and this is how we're going to do the weight cuts and this is how we're going to do the MMA training, because people respond differently. And people, you know, have different personalities, and some people are just mentally stronger than others. And, some people need more, you know, that personal attention that they're doing a good job and attaboys and patting on the back, where others don't. And you got to be cognizant of that. You know, especially on bigger teams when you got 20, 30 people, you know, just a lot of different personalities you got to deal with
that are actively fighting.
You got to treat some people, you know. Absolutely.
A little tougher than the others, you know. It's not being favorite. It's like, this is what that guy needs at this time. This is what that person needs at this time, you know. So.
Yeah.
It's pretty interesting. Okay,
no, there were times that we would, when kids were breaking, you know, and they were coming in, you could tell they're just mentally broken from the training and they're just tired and just tired of getting beat up and things haven't been going well and they haven't had good training sessions. It's like, hey, I would pull guys aside and be like, hey, let's take it down a little notch on him. You know, he's already a little broken up, so let's push the cardio. You know, don't make it any worse, because, you know, there's nothing worse than when you're in there sparring and you don't want to be there.
I've been there.
It's not going to go well for you.
I've been there.
Yeah. Everybody's been there.
I was like, Zach, I don't want to do this anymore. I'm just getting my ass kicked, bro. He's like, dude, you can't think like that going in there. I'm like, I know. Yeah. I'm already depleted. I'm like, fuck.
Yeah, it sucks. That's why you... You know, a good coach is going to make sure that, you know, you get your rounds in without, you know, destroying that that confidence level.
Yeah, for sure. Well, brother, so you got something new that just rolled out for Lean Impact, didn't you? Is it a website?
Yeah.
Tell me about it.
Website, well, the official announcement is coming this week, but I guess this is the official announcement. We all
sorry, buddy. I sprung it on you.
So we are live. We did a soft launch last week just to make sure all of the accounts set up through the merchant processing and everything. It's been a long journey, 5 months that we've been building this to get it right, and we're super excited to launch it, but wanted to make sure that, you know, we had a few kinks, you know, that we had to work out, but all in all, everything went really well with the soft launch. So it's actually out there if anyone want to go check it out, www.leanimpactnutrition.com.
Nice.
We'll be making the official announcement tomorrow and accepting all orders from here on out. We'll go through the website. Menu comes out each Wednesday, and then payment is due by Friday, and then we do our Sunday delivery. Literally just pulled up in the house right now, got up at 5:30, was in the kitchen at 6, and I just got home from work.
Wow. Dang, man. Busy, man. Day.
Guys, this is the level of commitment that you want in a company that's preparing your meals.
100%. 100%. And that's actually making a post about that tonight. Check it out.
For sure.
Just to kind of give some clarity about the company and time to kind of tell our story, because a lot of people, I mean, I won't give away the post, but you know, a lot of people don't understand what we do. And I am going to document that. I've already started some raw footage of the entire process from you know, when I design the menu and how I design it, and when I go to Restaurant Depot and source all of the products and the orders, and everything from the putting the, those stickers that you see on the labels are put on there by hand, and I write the date on there and prep and cook and I mop the floors. And after I get done with a 8 hour straight day, no lunch break, that, you know, I put all the meals in the truck and then I go deliver to my commercial refrigerators throughout Jacksonville. So it's been an awesome grind. But I wouldn't want to have it any other way. You know, I wouldn't certainly want somebody to hand it to me, and I wouldn't want to have, you know, just take out a loan and just hire a bunch of people and have them run the company for me. You know, I'm the dishwasher, I'm the cook, I'm the delivery driver, I'm the CEO, I'm everything. You know, we got a very small team, but we're very efficient. We're getting better each and every week. We're growing slowly, and we're learning this process. You know, it's tough to start a startup, especially in a food industry that has a lot of red tape. You know, we're learning, we're getting better at it. Each week's a new opportunity for us to improve our craft, and which we are. I'm getting more creative with the menus. And, you know, just trying to put out the best product each week to, so people can not only eat better and feel better, but, you know, feel like they're not eating diet food. And that was the one thing that I never wanted to put out, was just that bland, boring diet food where you're just like, oh, I'm eating this, but I hate it.
Yeah.
You know, no, I'm supposed to be losing weight. And this guy says, this is what I got to eat to lose the weight. So I'm going to eat this same piece of boiled chicken every day for the next 5 days. Because that's what I got to do. I'm not about that life. No. You know, I learned that from all the weight cuts. I learned that I can manipulate my carbohydrates. I can manipulate my protein. I don't have to eat the same thing every day as long as my calories are the same. And, I can kind of switch things up. And that's what I do with my product as well. You know, I keep it fresh, but, you know, everything's fresh, nothing frozen, and you know, just keep it creative, so that way you're looking forward to the meal as opposed to, you know, just having to get it down because you know that's what you have to do.
Yep. And they taste amazing. I'm telling you, I've been using your service for months now, and it's been different every single week. Tastes amazing every single week. I haven't had any issues. But if you do have issues, you just hit him up and he's able to address those things. You know what I mean? Like, absolutely. Was like maybe like, yeah, one week there was like a piece of chicken or something like that was dry. I was like, yeah, chicken was dry. You're like, oh yeah, this is the deal that happened with that. That's already remedied. We got that fixed for the next time that we run through this,
yep,
this course. So it's super, I mean, easy.
We've definitely had some issues, you know, some employee things and, you know, whatnot, but, you know, we're getting better, but 100%, if you reach out to us and you're not satisfied for whatever reason with the meal, you're not happy with the way it was prepared, or you didn't particularly like it, 100%, we'll give you, you know, your money back for that meal and offer you another meal, you know, the next week's order, just as, you know, courtesy. Because, I mean, at the end of the day, this only makes sense is if you like the food. Yeah. And it's definitely an honor to provide people the nutrition that they're going to be eating all that week. So I do take that seriously. But if you don't like the food, you're not going to keep ordering it. I mean, that's simple. So it's my job to make sure that I'm putting out the best product that I can each and every week. And if I don't deliver on those expectations, by all means, give me a call and I'll be happy to make it right.
Yeah, that's amazing. Boom. Okay. Try to find another company to do that.
There's not.
Nah.
Dude, I could tell you, I was at the kitchen this morning dropping off my bags and all like that. And I mean, watching them make the patties for the burgers this week. It's all handmade. It's nothing prepped. You know, they just pull out of a bag and boom, here's your meal. You know, Zach's wife was making that. You know, the other girl was chopping everything up. Zach's running everywhere. And the whole time, you know, still got a smile on his face. Happy-go-lucky. He's just like, yeah, doing what I'm – this is what I want to do. It's fun. Loving it.
I like that entrepreneurship too. Like, so you work a normal job and then you're like – I got all this other time. Let's do something that's going to be helpful to somebody. Let's do something that's going to improve lives. Yeah. And let's get a little bit of self-gratification out of doing a good job. And, you know, being able to make some more money. And in the grand scheme of things, that's a win all the way around, right? Improving lives, being able, yeah, to make some money, being able to do the things that you love to do. Just be happy. That's what, yep, he's doing extra. How cool is that?
Yeah, man. It's been very rewarding. I've worked in corporate America and you know, made many of spreadsheets for bottom line for, you know, shareholders to make sure, you know, stock portfolios look good, but when you get in a situation that you actually truly can help people, and you know, having Miggy and having you know, Nick Wagner's come alongside and their transformation and the weight loss that they've lost changed their lives, and now, you know, who knows where they go from here, you know, and they can continue to, you know, teach nutrition to someone else because of the weight loss and because of their journey and, you know, what they've decided to change and improve their lifestyle. And that's what it's all about. You know, I mean, just for the convenience of, you know, the stay-at-home mom or, you know, the soccer mom that's running three kids from practice to practice, and she's got to pull a full-time job, and the only chance you get to get meals is to go through the drive-through, you know, but now she can, you know, get quality nutrition for that same convenience at the same price without having to worry about it and get it delivered right to her home. You know, everybody has what they want out of it. You know, some people are about convenience. Some people want the health aspect. But you know, just to provide that is, it's an amazing honor, and, I'm really grateful.
Yes, Maggie.
Well, hey, Zach, I got to brag real quick, man. You know, first off, thank you so much, man. I'm finally in the 240s. You're the one that helped me get the ball rolling on this journey of mine. But I just got to point out, man, I went to Metro Diner with Art and Wallow today, killed the plate. I used to be able to kill a full order of French toast with, you know, eggs and everything. Dude, I barely made it halfway through that thing. I was like, God.
I can't believe you used to eat all this on the regular.
It was a shocker, man. I was like, good Lord.
Yeah.
You know, it's crazy. Then afterwards, you know, came to Chris's house after and knocked out some deadlifts today, man. Like, I went after it. But it's thanks to you, man. I really appreciate all the help you gave me out here, man. It really, you know, made a huge impact. You know, it was crazy, especially with the whole patience game, because people want to see stuff fast, but they don't realize it's the work that you don't think of. Like, I learned through you, you know, people talk about nutrition and workout. No, it's literally 100% nutrition, and then the exercise is like the extra credit. And yep. Man, I got to thank you for that, exactly. Zach. And it was great, man. It was a fun journey so far, and I'm loving it, man.
Yeah, I'm super proud of you, man. Stay with it. You know, the good thing is you've made it to the point where now it is a lifestyle change.
Yes.
So you'll never go back. As opposed, too many people start diets with expirations, as opposed to making a lifestyle change, and this is the way it's going to be forever. And once you find that out and you hit that knowledge, and now that you've lost that weight, you start adding more weight straight training into it. Mm-hmm. You know, that's where you're going to have that body recomposition.
Yep.
And you know, it's for me, I'm in this process, and I'll never look in the mirror one day and be like, you know what, I made it. Because the one day that I do that, I'm not going to progress anymore. I'm not going to push myself. I'm not going to try to improve myself because I think I've made it to the mountaintop. So I'll never say it. I'll constantly every day, because I have to have some type of, you know, motivation and inspiration to go to the gym. But if I look at myself one day and be like, yeah, you know, I'm good. Like, I'm good right where I'm at. You know, that's what anything in life, whether that's your marriage, that's your job, that's your finances, that's your podcast, my nutrition company, you're never going to be like, nah, we're good right where we're at. We've made it. Mm-hmm. You know, because that's as far as you're going to go. And you know, I'll never accept mediocrity. So I'm going to continue to push myself just like you. You're just beginning the journey. You know, you're getting to a point now, like I said, where it's that lifestyle. But now, wait till a year from now. Wait 2 years from now to see where you're at. That's what's going to be amazing.
Yeah, man. You know, I'm excited, when you look back, man.
You're like, damn, look at me 4 years ago. That's crazy. You know, when you start adding years on top of that lifestyle, that's when it's like mind-blowing.
Yeah, man. Like, you know, you got me pumped, man. Like, I'm really considering starting my own thing where I'm moving to, because they don't have that out there, man. And I see people complaining about diets over there and weight loss. And, you know, and you got me wanting to spread the joy out there, man. Like, I want to try, you know, like, again, it's a lifestyle at this point. It's no longer a diet. It's just a way of eating. And I'm feeling great, man. Like, again, I can lift weights looking again great. For like hours and – or not hours, but I could lift for a while and – go run a couple miles for the hell of it. And it's great, man.
Yeah. That's awesome, brother.
Yeah, but thank you so much, man. I really appreciate it, man. I get excited seeing those menus, man. I'm just like, oh, I wish I still lived in Jack's. I could go get some sweet and sour meatballs, man. I'm still hung up on that meal from a few weeks ago. Dude, then the pronuts. Oh, my God.
I got some meatballs for you.
Man.
Oh.
I brought some new ones out this week, so Definitely, guys, give me some feedback because our employee special did a special request on a pad thai.
Yeah.
I've never done pad thai for meal prep. Obviously, I've gone out and eat pad thai, and I love it, but I've never meal prepped it before. So Art got a little sneak peek this week because he was in the kitchen picking up his meals and got to take a look at it, but hopefully it delivers on flavor and flavor profile as well.
Dude, yeah, dude, you guys do magic in the kitchen, man. I'm telling you, that's what separates you guys from everyone else. You know, you guys, it's just a journey, man. It's like Food Network every day with you guys, man. Dude,
I am passionate. I mean, I'm passionate about what I do. There's no doubt about it. I mean, obviously, you guys, we've talked and spent many of hours talking about it, so you know my passion is in nutrition and fitness. But I try to deliver that every single day in that plate. And it's more than just providing that, you know, nutritious food. I want that wow factor. I want that bright colors. I want that you open it up and you're like, damn, this looks good. And then, you know, it can taste great. But, yes. You know, I want the full experience. I mean, you're paying me to provide your meals for you. I deserve to give you the entire experience, which is what hopefully I deliver every single week. And I mean, I am a little OCD with it sometimes, and the people that work in my kitchen know it's like when if you make one plate this way, I'll give you the blueprint. You make every single plate that way. Don't put the lime wedge in the right corner if all the other ones are in the left corner. They all have to be consistent because whether you open that first one or the third one, it all needs to look the same. Just like when you go to McDonald's or Chili's, you know, you have a certain expectation because you've ordered it before. You want that to come back. You know, and Nick Wagner has hammered that into my head when I did the Salisbury steak with rice, because that is not the original version that I did with the smashed potatoes. So
it's the aesthetics of it all. I'll be
making that correction next time.
Well, no, he messed us up because he tossed that rice in there on the second go around, and both me and Nick were like, we opened it up. It's like, oh man, it's Salisbury steak. What is this rice doing in here?
Oh, this man, is not the smashed Salisbury potatoes. Steak was my favorite, man.
Oh, dude, Nick was like, me and Nick were actually on the phone talking about it. And he was like, I can't believe you did rice. I've got to talk to Zach. I was like, okay, right. Cool. Well, you do that. You know, and even this morning when I was there, he was talking about the turkey burgers that he did, and how he was doing it, and talk about OCD. I mean, he's all like, bro, I'm going to hit it with this, and then I'm going to throw it in the salamander for this and get that, and just, he's like mad scientists up in there. I'm like, oh, sweet. Yeah. I can't wait for this week's menu.
Yeah, I got a lot of toys in the kitchen I can play with now, so getting creative.
Love it, brother. Well, man, I appreciate that phone call, dude, and I'm so glad that we're able to pump you up. And you know, we got the gym opening up this next week or whatever, so hope you stop by and check it out.
For sure, I'll come by this week.
Super.
As he's eating mango. All right,
guys, you have a good one.
All right, Zach. Thank you.
Later, Zach.
See you, man.
Tell guys, that was Zach Elkins from Lean Impact Nutrition. And that website again, www.leanimpactnutrition.com.
Got the menu on it right on the front page. Mm-hmm. You can see what's upcoming.
Super easy to navigate. I even played around with mobile, dude.
Yep.
Super simple.
Yep.
Works they put out a really lot of work into it. Matter of fact, those are the same guys that are doing our website. So.
Oh, good deal.
Super excited about it.
Since last week we made an unofficial announcement, why don't you go ahead and give the official announcement since Zach made his official announcement here
today. Right.
Yeah, so AOWJJ is opening up this month. We're looking to have the official startup on.
You said the 30th?
No, yeah, hold on. Yeah, the 30th. Okay. The 30th this month. We will be opened up beforehand. It's going to be more of a soft opening. Sign up. Go ahead and pay for your April 1st. And the first 30 people are getting a pretty fat discount. So you want to go ahead and check that out.
Well, tell them what AOWJJ stands for.
Heart of War Jiu-Jitsu. We have stand-up conditioning classes, personal training for weightlifting and powerlifting. We have jiu-jitsu, obviously, mostly no-gi, and we have a gi class. We also have a first-degree judo black belt from Hawaii who's going to be coming in and teaching stand-up takedown portions of the gi. So that way all of our guys, if they decided to do the gi, they're going to be able to get that takedown. They're going to get those points. They're going to pass that guard. They're going to submit their opponent.
Pass that guard.
Pass that guard. Dust off those pajamas.
So dust off those pajamas. Get your show your rolls out and let's do this damn thing.
I know. I got to get my pants from Dean because he's got them. And then my jacket.
Holberch.
Holberch.
They both have my Sugar Roll shit.
I got to hit up that car. You know, Carhartt just released the gi
with Hyperfly Do or Die.
Yeah.
With really?
Carhartt has an actual
gi. It looks like a Carhartt jacket.
It does. It does. I saw it. I was like, bro, I am redneck enough to go ahead and get the Carhartt.
Chris is going
to
wear that to work now and hope he doesn't get caught.
Wear that in the dead of the summer.
Oh.
So, yeah, pretty soaked about that. We have AOWJJ on Facebook. We have AOWJJ _18 on Instagram. We're on Vimeo as well as AOWJJ. Follow us on the social media sites there. We're going to have some updated stuff right now. It's just kind of like the bare shell of it, so you can just kind of like it. If you trained with me before, go ahead and hit a review. Appreciate it. And then website will be coming out shortly after it's built.
That's right.
Super stoked about that, man.
We got all kinds of stuff coming.
We got a lot of content coming out, too. So we got some tech content coming out. We got some just some fun stuff.
Stuff.
Yeah,
stuff.
I got some stuff we'll I wanted to talk to you about adding. I think you should do for your content stuff on.
Yeah, for on sure. That. For sure. So.
Well, listen, you know, the pictures, the fun pictures are coming back, too.
Oh, yeah.
We all love those pictures at the end of class.
Fun pictures, fun videos.
With the filters and the special effects.
You mean we get to go back and have fun?
Yeah.
I'm all about it.
For sure.
All righty, guys. Well, that sounds like a fun podcast right there. You guys good?
Yeah.
I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm about to eat the rest of this mango right here.
Before we go ahead and give a shout out again to Lean Impact Nutrition, which is our sponsor.
Okay, let me hit this up. LeanImpactNutrition.com. Go ahead and hit them up. That's how you're going to do your orders now. Plenty of drop-off locations. They'll have that on the website. BlackHiveTattoo.com. Sign up for this newsletter. If you want to get those tattoos, best tattoos in Jacksonville, and this has been voted, you need to get on the newsletter because those guys are seriously, seriously busy. So as soon as they have openings, they'll be able to pull you in and get you going.
Yep. Yeah, Selena get a just tattoo opened that makes
you. Selena just opened. Ooh, if you can get in with my girl Selena, man, she is good.
Yeah, she just opened her books. I haven't seen the email saying that's closed yet. So the books, it sounds like the books are still open with her.
Get up on that.
And of course, always our website, lrtlk.com, where you can find all our episodes, including our previous ones, you know, the ones that are the other 68.
Am I drunk cast?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. 67. 68 had the asterisk on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
That was the extra long one.
Yeah.
Hey-o.
Mickey, why don't you ahead and now give a shout out to your sponsors before we go.
Real quick, man. Of course, I got to say it again. Thank you to Lean Impact, man. I'm down 50 pounds.
Nice.
It's all thanks to my man Zach Elkins and the team over at Lean Impact, man. They made it doable, man. They didn't treat it like a diet or anything. They made it super enjoyable to the point where if I went to a restaurant and they put it on a plate, I think the restaurant cooked it. But, of course, shout-outs to my girl Carla doing big, bad things out there. And then, of course, I have one sad announcement to make, man. Next week's my last week for a while.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Boo.
But I'll be connected. But it won't be for long, though. We're going to figure something out.
Nice.
All right, peeps.
Sherry, why don't you give a shout out to anybody you want to give a shout out to?
I'll shout out to Bert and say hello.
Hey.
I miss your face.
Oof,
Bert. And I'd like to shout out to Chris's wife, Amanda, for bringing some pretty fantastically delicious mangoes.
It's fantastically delicious.
They're
fantastically
so good.
Delicious.
All right, guys. Well, thank you very much. We appreciate you listening and downloading our episodes. And we'll catch you next week.
Peace
out. Miami, the Playboy's paradise. Pretty girls, fast cars. That's just a facade. The bridge separates South Beach from my Miami. The real Miami. The MIA. This is where we hustle.
Every day I'm hustling.
Sucker, snake you're tripping with. Yes, I'm the boss. 745, white on white, that's Rick Ross. I keep them wide, I keep them long, I keep them fat. I keep them coming back.
What?
We keep them coming back. I'm in the distribution, I'm like Atlantic. I got them pretty things flying across the Atlantic. I know Pablo Noriega, the real Noriega. He owe me 100 favors. I ain't petty player, we buy the whole thing. See, most of my homies hustle, they still do their thing.
my roof back, roof back. My money ride. I'm on the pedal, show you what I'm running like. When they snatch black, I cry for 100 nights. He got 100 bodies, serving 100 lives.
Every day I'm hustling, every day I'm hustling. Every day I'm hustling, every day I'm hustling. Every day I'm hustling, every day I'm hustling. Every day I'm hustling, every day I'm, every day I'm.
We never steal cars, but we hard. Whip it real hard, whip it real hard. I call the charge.
You call the charge.
I call the charge.
Yeah.
Whip it real hard. Whip it real hard. Ain't about no funny stuff. Still flipping them chickens. I'm on my money stuff. Still whipping them Benzes. Major League. Who catching? Because I'm pitching. Coach Aiken Seiko just snitching because he finish. I feed them steroids to strengthen up all my chickens. They flying over Pacific to be specific. Triple C's, you know it's fact. We hold it set. So good and gone rat.
Gone rat.
Run it, tell them that.
Tell them that.
More cars.
More cars.
More old.
More old.
More clothes.
More clothes.
More.
Every day I'm hustling. 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 Every day I'm hustling.
It's time to spin my thrills.
Thrills.
Custom spinning wheels. I ain't drove in a week. Them shit is standing still. Talk about me, cause these suckers scared to talk about me. Killers talking about me. It ain't no talk about me. It ain't no walking around me. See all these killers around me. Lot of around me going down in Dade County. Don't tote no 22. Cost me 22.
Sat it on her
22. Lil' mama super thin. She say she 22. She seen them 22. We in room 222. I touch work like I'm convertible Burt. I got distribution, so I'm converting the work. In the M-I-A-O. Them rich off.
Yeah, yo.
Yeah, yo.
My sh** been banging. Yeah, yo.
Every day I'm hustling. Every day I'm hustling. Every day I'm hustling. Every day I'm hustling. Every day I'm hustling, every day I'm hustling, every day I'm hustling, every day.